Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My thanks to Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing Communities, who joined me, as well as my friend CJ, conservative caller on the phone. We've been talking about, you know, it occurs to me, and I appreciate CJ's willingness to call and engage with me on the phones here. Even though I'm trying to focus in on these particular points that I think a lot of conservatives get really uncomfortable talking about. And I want to say at the same time, I think a lot of Democrats are really uncomfortable talking about some of the complexities of public safety. We were talking, if you're just joining us, about Donald Trump's statements today that they are definitely going to Chicago. There was a federal court ruling that the use of federal military for civilian law enforcement in L.A. violated the Posse Comitatus Act. There's a lot of action in this space at the moment. And the place that I wish we could all get to is an understanding that, yes, you need police, and we need sufficiently staffed police forces, but police is, and whether that's a military presence, which again, military people, those are war fighters. They are not properly trained for civilian law enforcement purposes. But can't we have a discussion where we can actually talk about public safety challenges and what really truly works to build lasting safety in all of our communities? Because we all deserve that. And not resort to the kind of, I think, dialogue that I hear a lot from the right, which is Donald Trump is God, everything he does is just fine, and a refusal to deal with the two-facedness of much of the Trump administration's policies when it comes to public safety. Do not tell me that Donald Trump is a great crime fighter when he pardons cop beaters. That's not a consistent position. And the only way that you can make that make any sense is when you simply understand that what Donald Trump is doing is by creating false divisions in our communities, specifically targeting Black and brown communities, and he is doing that to target communities that oppose much of his agenda, that it is literally about politics and not about public safety. So my thanks to everyone for engaging in what I think needs to be a much more dialed back and tuned in conversation about very, very real results. And that needs Democrats to sometimes change their language, their message, and their thinking about how to build bridges. Well, speaking of one of those bridge builders and change agents on both messaging and substance, I am so delighted, quite excited, to be joined by State Senator-elect from Iowa's fighting 12th District, excuse me, First District, Caitlin.
Number one,
the first state senate district, Caitlin Dre. You just won an absolutely landmark election. This represents a basically 20 plus point swing from the November 2024 election, where your state senate district went about 10 points for Donald Trump. You swung that. You won your election just a week ago. Was it just a week ago?
I lose track. A week ago today.
Oh, yes. My. Well, it's congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. So it's been a wild week.
Yeah. So you're a plus 20 swing. How did you do it? What was different about the message that you think made a difference to voters in Iowa's first state Senate district?
You know, I think I had the unique opportunity of being like an extremely online candidate. I spent a lot of time on Instagram, as detrimental as that is to our mental health, right? But I talked to voters instead of at them. And I think that made the biggest difference, truly. We spent a lot of time just talking about how to make a good life in the state of Iowa. And that's gotten more expensive, whether it's housing, healthcare, or childcare. And all three of those things are necessary to have a good life no matter where you live. So I think that message translates, into a more national conversation. But really, the takeaway, and if you want to call it a blueprint, it has to be speaking to voters and not at them.
Mm-hmm. It's so critical. And I think just laser focus on the issues that really impact yes. everybody's day-to-day lives. And it is fun for someone who does the job that I do on the radio to have political arguments about this rhetoric yeah. and that rhetoric. But at the end of the day, when I talk to friends that are trying to raise kids or younger people that I know that are trying to buy a home for the first time,
yep.
And folks that are just trying to make it work, that's the obstacle. The overwhelming sense that I get for people is, pardon the use of the term twice, how overwhelmed they feel and how unseen they feel. And when I spent a bunch of time like looking at your campaign website, Senator-elect, mm-hmm. and some of your social media feeds, and it was markedly different. It looked different than a politician's mm-hmm. website. You sounded different. And I was like, oh, God bless this woman and her team. I encourage everybody to go check it out. Kate, first of all, and we'll put all of your social handles and your website from your campaign in our show notes for today. But I think, again, it's not just about talking about the things that make people feel overwhelmed. It's how you talk to people. Tell me a little mm-hmm. bit, and we hear this all the time, don't talk at people, but with them. Tell right? me what yeah. that actually feels like and how you did that. Big online presence, but how did you do that when you were just in the retail politics of Iowa's first Senate district?
Well, I think what, like I said, being online, that's the first thing.
Yes.
But I kept saying over and over again, like, I'm just a regular lady. Just yeah. a regular person running for office, which is a feat, right? It's extremely difficult as a young parent, right? I have, she'll be 5 on Friday, and my husband and I both work full time. This process is not designed to help people like me succeed at running for office. But one of the things that I really, really pushed on, even when we were developing the messaging, was this sounds like every other political ad I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't work, right? That's not working to turn out Democratic voters right now, to turn out
any
people
voter.
To vote for. Exactly, right? Yeah, I'm like, to turn out any voter. But when you talk about removing the label of R and D, and I've said this before, Democratic policies are winners. People want to be able to afford a home. They want the wealthy to pay their fair share in taxes. They want to have access to healthcare that is based in science, that their doctor is not being interfered by some random politician who they've never met, right? And I just, we have to get back to using regular words, speaking yeah. to people, right? It's like this, we like message test and try and like perfect things, and voters can see through that. And to say like, oh, voters this, voters that, we're all people. We're just people like trying to build a good and beautiful life. And at the end of the day, we all pretty much agree on what it takes to do that. It's just like, how do we connect the dots to get from, you know, the horseshoe, right? How yes. do we get from all the way up here on the horseshoe? Most people are down here at the bottom.
Yes.
How do we dots and conversation get out of this like yuck bin nastiness that we're in right now?
I also think some of it, you know, in reading up on your race and your election, what occurred to me is not only do you sound unpolitician, you feel not like a politician. And I mean that getting beyond the words. The people that I have seen be able to be highly effective in mixed districts or districts that seem to have big swings are people who feel genuine. When you're in a room with them or you're listening to them talk about things, it just feels real as opposed to, again, overly consultanted and message managed candidates.
Yeah.
I also think that there is that this needs to be addressed. You know, one of the big pieces of news from just today is that Congressional Representative Jerry Nadler, who's been in Congress for 32 mm-hmm. years, is not seeking re-election.
Can we just talk really quickly?
Go ahead, Caitlin, please.
I will be 38. The entirety of my life, right?
Yeah.
Insane. Like, what are we doing?
To your point, he said, this decision has not been easy, but I know in my heart it is the right one and that it is the mm-hmm. right time to pass the torch to a new generation.
Yeah.
I think people are sick of voting for the same candidates over 35 years.
And so, like, that's the thing is, like, Congressman Nadler, what a beautiful legacy of work, right? That's so important to recognize. And there is something so beautiful in a leader that can say, I have done what I can at this point. I would love to see more of that, right? Like, there are a lot of people, and it's disproportionately, right? I don't have the facts and figures, but it's disproportionately on the Democratic side that we are under this gerontocracy, right? And there is, and this is, I think, part of why we have a hard time attracting younger people, even to that grassroots level, is because we say, oh, what can we do to turn out young voters? What can we do to engage young people? And then they show up, and it's like, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we're going to keep doing it. How does that widen the circle, encourage more people to show up when it's like, no, you got to earn your stripes. When what we see on the right is just this consistent investment in, you know, outside money and outside kind of like the Joe Rogans and the Turning Point USAs and the
young voter. Yes. They do. They have specific, I mean, our former governor runs one of those. Yeah. Go ahead, Caitlin.
But they give money to people and say, do what you think resonates with your audience. And so now we're trying to play catch up in this way that's like, you know, how do we get there? And it's like, just let the young people do the young people thing. Like, it's not rocket science. We have to stop with this, like, meritocracy, gerontocracy, all of it.
And it'd be one thing if it was a meritocracy, like, if we were closer to an actual meritocracy, right? Which I think is the thing that you're getting at.
Yeah.
What Congressman Nadler was perceiving, I think, is the need objectively on its own for younger candidates that can reflect, energize, communicate on the platforms, in the lingo, mm-hmm. in a way that feels genuine for younger voters. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just say the thing that might get me in some hot water. Dear Democrats in these seats that have held them for decades, take a look at your record. Take mm-hmm. a really hard look in the mirror. If you have yet to accomplish what you set out to do as an elected official, maybe it is time for you to pass the baton to a new generation, as Representative Nadler said today. We're going to continue this fascinating discussion with Iowa State Senator-elect, a 20-point swing from November. I'm so pumped for her and the first Senate district in Iowa. Stay tuned, everybody. We're going to be right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. We continue to talk about how to build bridges and get that tent even bigger by energizing younger voters. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.